The golden age of radio is on the air. Morehead State Public Radio presents classic old-time radio programs from radio's golden age, the 1930s through the 1950s. On this program of the golden age of radio, there's a jewel robbery on an episode of Gangbusters. Johnny Olsen hosts the game show Second Chance from 1953 in the Lou Holtz Laugh Club. Stay tuned for the golden age of radio after today's news from NPR on WMKY at 90.3 FM. Welcome back to the Golden Age of Radio on WMKY at 90.3 FM. Later on today's show, the Lou Holtz Laugh Club, and Johnny Olsen hosts the game show Second Chance from 1953. Right now, there's a jewel robbery on Gangbusters, as WMKY presents the Golden Age of Radio.
And now, in cooperation with police and federal law enforcement departments throughout the United States, CBS Radio presents Gangbusters! Gangbusters! The only national program that brings you authentic police case histories has asked the Honorable Edward L. Dowd, First Assistant Circuit Attorney of St. Louis, Missouri, to narrate by proxy tonight's case. Circuit Attorney Dowd.
Thank you, and good evening, Gangbusters listeners. Let's begin tonight's case on a cold winter morning a year or so ago in the city of St. Louis, Missouri. The proprietress of a small, unkempt confectionery store on South Broadway had just opened the place for the day's business and was tidying up the tiny soda fountain.
Morning, Annabelle.
Told you no last night, Wally. The answer's still no.
Crying out loud. You think it was a fortune? You could stake a guy to a couple of hundred.
Why?
Now, Annabelle, be reasonable. I'm good for it. You know I'm good for it.
Why does a guy in your position need to come looking for handouts? You know where to get it. Why don't you go out and make it?
The heat's on, Annabelle. The town is hotter than a $2 pistol shooting blanks.
Don't blame me. I didn't make the heat.
These guys have really been burning up the town. Remember that clothing store man?
Yeah.
Them. That was them. Of course, I'm not saying it was their fault the guy got shot. Somebody comes in and iced the place. A reasonable thing to do is give him the money. He fought them, so what does he get?
A nice funeral.
And a hotel clerk. I hear that was them, too. So you can see why all the heat is on, Annabelle. So I figure to get out for a while. I take a ride to KC and take things easy for a couple of weeks.
I should give you the $200. Have to come looking for you in Kansas City.
You won't have to come looking for me, Annabelle. I'm good for it. You know I'm good for it.
Then go borrow from a bank.
Listen to me, Annabelle, heart to heart. A guy with a little heat on him can't even walk in the streets in comfort anymore. The first thing he knows, he's downtown with the law nagging the life out of him. You can't work under these conditions.
My heart is bleeding for you.
This mob has been burning up the town with one blast after another, and the pressure is coming down on the cops from all over. It's a risk to stick your head on the street while this mob is still operating.
What mob? Who are they?
How should I know who are they?
I thought you knew everything, Wally.
I never heard of them. What do you say, Annabelle?
No is no. Well, I'm a redhead, the papers say. You know of any redheaded heavy men around town?
No. Annabelle?
I got an idea, Wally. Have a chocolate malted on the house.
No, thanks. Much obliged.
My chocolate malteds aren't good enough for you, but you'll take my $200.
I ain't even had breakfast yet.
What's wrong with a chocolate malted for breakfast?
Annabelle, please.
No.
We've been friends for years.
I know. I want to keep it that way. If I give you the 200, that's the end of our friendship. Come in, come in.
Yeah, I'm in already.
Will it be, mister?
Cup of coffee. Hello, Wally.
Brad, how are you?
We don't have coffee. How about a nice cherry phosphate?
Nah, never mind.
A malted?
Nah, skip it.
What are you doing around here, Red?
Yeah, seeing the sights.
Yeah?
How about a hot chocolate? That I can make you.
Nah, forget it. How you been, Wally? Busy?
No, not too.
I was told I could find you around here, Wally.
He's around here too much.
I've got to do something with my time.
Are you looking to make a connection?
That depends.
You like milk? I give you plain milk.
I want coffee.
You want coffee, you have to go elsewhere.
Red, it's a good deal.
Yeah, it's been good so far. Come on, let's go get that coffee someplace. We'll talk about it, huh?
It's in a restaurant I'm running. If I carried what everybody asked for, I'd have $1 million worth of stock.
It's all right, I'm not to put out none.
Well, go if you're going. Got plenty to clean up around.
Come on, Wally.
I'll see you, Annabelle.
Yeah, don't do me any favors.
Police Department.
Sergeant Rickard, robbery squad.
Now hold on, please. I'll connect you. Robbery squad. Sergeant Rickard.
Miss Annabelle.
Yes, Annabelle.
You were looking to get a line on a redhead?
Yeah, so?
Maybe I just saw the one.
What's his name?
Red. His name is Red.
That's not much help.
His friend of mine was in the store crying about the heat around town because of all these heistings. Then this Red walks in. He and Wally are sidekicks from way back, I think. He wants to know if Wally would like to make a connection.
Well, what did Wally say?
He didn't say. They left together to talk it over.
For where?
How should I know for where? Did I follow him?
Okay, Annabelle, thanks. Keep your ears open now. In the meanwhile, we'll do some checking around.
Let me have a cigar, will you, Wally?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, thanks.
All right, tell me, what's the deal?
Wait a minute, take it easy, I'll tell you. First, I want to know, is there any heat on you?
Heat on me?
Yeah.
You guys got all the heat in this town. You're running wild and the lid is on everybody.
Are you still a good man at the wheel you used to be, Wally?
Yeah, I'm all right.
Downtown, for instance. Can you wheel a car in there and get it out?
Yeah. What's a touch?
Jewelry house.
Just jewelry?
There'll be some cash involved, enough. But plenty of ice.
I don't like a jewelry deal. You break your back to get the scum and you can't turn it over for 20 cents on a dollar.
Well, that shouldn't make any difference if there's enough of it.
No, I guess it shouldn't.
And it's only a three-handed job.
Oh?
Yeah, that's all. A fair-sized score split up only three ways wouldn't be bad, huh?
What happened to the other two in the mob?
What other two?
Papers have been saying you were four-handed altogether.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, Wally, we were four-handed, but two of the boys pulled out.
Yeah? Why?
They thought there was too much heat for the fireworks. They started to cry, so Mac gave them the kiss-off.
Who's Mac?
You wouldn't know him. They've been his jobs.
What kind of guy is he?
After this one, I'll have had enough myself.
Cowboy?
No, not exactly. He ain't wild. He's got a head on his shoulders. Maybe that's his trouble, too much head. He thinks he's a mastermind.
I don't like that kind of deal. Every hand should have his say-so.
Not with Mac, they don't.
What does this guy think he is? I don't know him. I don't know what he can do.
Don't get so independent. You told me you were behind the six. You can't get dough by being independent.
All right, I'll talk to him anyway.
I'm talking to you for him. Are you in, aren't you?
Okay, Red, I'm in.
Good.
Come on, let's go see this car.
Take it easy, will you? Give me a chance to drink my coffee. Besides, we can't meet him till tonight.
What's the matter? You have to make an appointment?
He's a late sleeper.
All right. Go ahead, drink your coffee.
Wait out here, Johnny.
Yeah, sure, Rick.
I won't be but a few minutes.
I'll see you.
Hello, Annabelle.
Ah, hello yourself, Sergeant. Now, what'll it be?
Oh, small lemon lime.
Small lemon lime to a sergeant.
Where does this Wally live, Annabelle?
I don't know. He never said.
We've been checking around. We got no address for him in the cards.
Don't cry to me, Sergeant. That's your job to keep track of these heats, not mine.
You got no idea at all?
No, no idea at all.
And when you see him again, try to fish it out of him, huh?
Fish it out of him yourself. Here he comes. One lemon lime.
Hi there, Annabelle.
The answer's still no, Wally.
Forget I even mentioned it, Annabelle. Hi there.
How are you?
What'd you do? Get it from that red-headed friend of yours?
Head away, yeah. Got some telephone change, Annabelle?
Yep, sure. He looked familiar, that redhead. I think maybe I know him from someplace. There you are.
Maybe you do. He's been around. Excuse me, I gotta make a call.
Who's stopping you? See what I mean about the redhead?
Yeah, I see.
You gonna pick Wally up? A few days in jail might do him some good. Maybe it'd help his color.
Maybe it would. How much for the lemon lime, Annabelle?
Still a nickel. No inflation around here.
There you are.
Thank you. Call again.
Let me know what you hear, Annabelle.
I'm all ears.
Okay, I'll see you now.
Hurry back, mister.
Johnny?
Hey, Rick. Wasn't that Wally that went in the store?
Yeah.
Did he make you?
No, I don't think so. He remembers me from someplace. Probably thinks I'm a steady hanger around Annabelle's. He went to use the phone.
What are we going to do when he comes out? Collar him?
No, there's nothing we could hold him on yet. We don't even know if this redhead is one of the outfit.
I wouldn't make any bets he wasn't.
I want to see that redhead before we make a move. If he's right, I want to grab him good. What
hey, Rick,
we do it...
He's coming out.
Okay.
Here he comes, this way.
Let him pass. Okay, Johnny, stay with him.
Right.
If he makes a meet with a redhead or if you find out where Wally lives, check with me.
Okay.
All right, on your horse.
So long.
Back to Gangbusters in a moment. The Sunday daytime listening is truly outstanding at the Star's address. Tomorrow, don't miss World Music Festivals, visiting the Edinburgh Festival, where Bruno Walter conducts the Vienna Philharmonic Orchestra. And remember, too, that Sunday daytime on most of these same CBS radio stations, Leopold Stokowski conducts in the 20th Century Concert Hall, and Michel Piastro directs the Symphonette, all on CBS Radio. And now back to Gangbusters and Circuit Attorney Dowd.
Well, while St. Louis detectives were beginning to make headway in their investigation, the holdup mob had recruited another member. And late that night in another part of the city, Wally was being escorted up the stairs of an apartment house by his connection, Red.
Like I said, Wally, you might not like the guy, but you got to grant him a brain.
I just don't want anybody telling me my business, that's all. I don't go for that kind of garbage.
Okay, don't get excited. You haven't even met him yet. That way.
I just don't want him telling me how to do my job.
Take it easy, will you? Okay, right here.
Should I push the bell?
Nah, never mind. I got the keys. Mac. Come on in, Wally.
Yeah.
Hey, Mac. In here, Red. He's in there, Wally. Say, how you like the setup here, Wally, huh?
It'll do.
Yeah. Mac, meet Wally.
How are you?
Hi.
Just a second.
He's nuts about solitaire.
So I see.
I tried a lot of things. I can't find a better way to pass the time.
Have you tried knitting?
Wally.
Yeah, I tried knitting. Nothing there. Well, we'll let this go for a while, huh?
That's nice of you.
It don't look like I could win it anyway. Not with that deal. Sit down, Wally.
Yeah. Thanks. Right here.
Yeah. Fred says you're okay, Wally. Says you're a good wheel man.
The best, Mac.
Okay. Now, this is going to be a nice little score. Not the biggest in the world, but tidy.
That's the way I like them, tidy. When?
Maybe tomorrow, maybe the next day. Depends on the weather.
What's the weather got to do with it?
This is a congested district. If it's raining or snowing, traffic will be heavy and slow, plus there'll be a lot of extra taxicabs in the area.
It's a good angle.
The gate will be rough enough without any handicaps, so let's wait for good weather.
It's okay with me.
You see, Wally, all the angles.
Now, the mark is the Four Brothers Jewelry Company. That's on the third floor of the tower building.
It's a rough deal getting out of that neighborhood.
Can you do it?
I can do it.
It's my idea we should have a small, fast car. A big one might be a little trouble to handle in traffic. But I'll leave it to you.
Yeah, you leave it to me.
A small car would be better, don't you think, Wally?
Small car it'll be.
Now, here's the layout. Forget about the elevator. We'll go up the stairs. The office is around here, in back, like this.
Yeah.
There's this entrance here. The door's made of glass, so we got to work fast. We got to get in, get it, and get out. We got no time to play.
Who wants to play?
There's a counter here, which stretches from one side practically to the other. It's a display case. None of the good stuff is in there. In back of the counter is a vault. That's what we want to get in.
How much do you figure?
Maybe $5,000-$6,000 in cash, maybe $50,000 in ice.
It's not bad.
It's all right for me.
Off to the side here, there's a little office.
Uh-huh.
Now, that's where the owner has his desk. And besides the owner, we'll find another guy there, a salesman. Mm-hmm. Neither one of them look like the hero type. We won't have any trouble.
You got this mark pretty well cased.
I should have. I've been there twice. I've been trying to make up my mind whether to buy a watch they got.
It's a great setup, Wally. Huh?
They'll recognize me when I come in. I'll tell them I want the watch. They're relaxed. We go to work.
How about the bug? All those jewelry houses got alarms.
That won't be no problem. The only one I could spot was in the boss's little office. Now, he'll be in front writing up the sale on the watch. And if there are any more, we'll just have to be quick enough to keep them away from
him. I'm for being quick.
Back to Gangbusters in a moment.
You know, I've been getting letters from kids all over the country who are so pleased with the new second series of Army, Navy, and Marine Air Squadron insignia and warplane buttons from packages of Kellogg's Pep. Like that dramatic-looking Army 44th Fighter Squadron insignia, for instance, with a fancy grinning devil's head and the outstretched red and black wings. Boy, is that a humdinger. But now, you can't buy them anywhere. No, they come only in packages of Kellogg's Pep, that super delicious whole wheat flake cereal. Ask Mom to get a new supply of Kellogg's Pep tomorrow. Then, open the package and look for your prize, an exciting Air Squadron insignia or warplane button. You'll find a button in every package. It's a prize, especially for you, from P.E.P. Pep.
Now, Red.
Yeah?
You're going to take the boss.
Uh-huh.
Your job is to watch him, keep him quiet, keep him away from the bugs.
Okay.
And Wally, you do the same thing with the salesman, and I'll clean the void.
Wait a minute.
What's the matter?
You're going a little fast for me. You said I was to handle a salesman.
That's right.
I was under the impression I was a wheelman in this deal. That's a big enough job. I don't belong on the inside at all.
It's not necessary to stay with the car. It can sit.
Yeah. Well, it can sit without me. I don't do two men's work.
Wally.
Not without two men's cuts. I don't do two men's work without two men's cuts.
Will you listen to me?
I knew there was something screwy about this deal. No wonder your other two left you like that.
Wally.
You got to grant me it takes three on the inside.
Okay, I'll grant you, but I'm a wheelman.
You've done inside work?
Sure, I've done inside work, but not while I was the wheelman. I won't have any part of it.
Now, listen to me, will you? You came in, and you're in.
Yeah. We'll see if I'm in.
Now, Wally, be reasonable.
Who's being unreasonable?
Now, look, I don't get tough often, but I'm going to get tough now. You're in, Wally. You made a deal and you're in. Well, you're not going to be feeling so good.
Wally, cooperate, huh? It ain't going to be so tough.
Well, okay. If I wasn't on such a spot for dough, I'd tell you all what to do.
Good, Wally. I knew you'd come to first. You see, Mac?
Is that all?
Yeah, that's all.
This is going to be tomorrow. I better start scouting around for a car for the get.
Yeah, a small car, Wally.
A small car.
Red will get in touch with you. He'll let you know whether it's tomorrow and what time.
Yeah, you'll be at Annabelle's at 11. I'll phone there.
Okay, Annabelle's at 11. I'll be there.
Now, we got a good deal, boys. An awful good deal. Now, let's see if I can win one of these games for myself.
Robbery squad, Sergeant Rickard.
Hello, Rick. Johnny.
Yeah, Johnny.
Wally must have lifted himself a Chevy coach. I saw him on the corner of Grand and Locust.
Oh, is that so?
Yeah, looks for sure like he's in a deal now.
Yeah, where'd he park this car?
In a public garage on Market Street. On Market Street near the civil courts.
Okay, Johnny, stick around there. I'll be right out.
You think I ought to have one of the boys stay behind, Wally?
No, that won't be necessary. He's going to use that car if they pull anything. That's all we have to watch, the car. I'll be right there.
What? Yeah, the...
Hi, Annabelle.
Oh, Wally.
How's tricks, Annabelle?
I got no tricks. What do you want? 200 again? The answer's still no.
Nah, I don't want your 200. Just fix me a chocolate marlin.
Chocolate marlin with vanilla or chocolate marlin with chocolate?
With vanilla.
Chocolate marlin with vanilla. How come yesterday you wanted 200, today you don't? I'm beginning to get insulted.
My connections came through, Annabelle.
You would take my advice, which you won't. You wouldn't go looking for trouble.
I'm not looking for trouble. Who needs trouble?
Every time I got a call.
I'll get it, Annabelle.
Why should you get it? Is it your store?
I'm expecting a call. I'll answer.
Go on, then. I answer before they hang up.
Yeah.
And don't give my phone number to any more Toms and Dicks. What do you think this is?
Hello?
Wally?
Yeah, this is Wally.
Red, Max says we do it today at 3 o'clock.
Okay, I'm ready.
You got the car okay?
Yeah, Chevy, just a ticket. I got it parked in the garage on Market Street. I can pick you two up about 2:30.
No, Max says no. Max says for you to drive downtown yourself, park the car in Del Mar near the building. We'll see you there.
Okay.
It will take care of the hardware. Just bring the car and yourself.
I got you.
So long.
Much obliged, Annabelle.
Much obliged for what?
For your set of facilities.
Anytime. Ask me for anything except money. One chocolate malted with vanilla.
Happy days, Annabelle.
Happy days yourself.
Cut over to Washington, Rick. Maybe we can pick him up there.
Well, I'm afraid it's no use, Johnny. We lost him.
Lousy traffic. Same thing last night. Cinturet took him to meet the mob. We got fouled up in traffic.
That's okay. We know where to put our hands on him now. Wally, at least. He can lead us to the others.
They're liable to start shooting again. That's what I'm worried about.
From the way he was headed, I guess the job is someplace downtown.
Maybe he was just headed to pick up the others.
Maybe, but these guys are pretty slick, Johnny.
Yeah.
I don't think they'd all ride together in a hot car. I think the rest will meet him. I'll pull in the phone. We'll get a few more squads on the job and cruise around downtown. Maybe we can spot that Chevy.
All right, step lively, boys. We go in, we get out. Waste no time. You set, Red?
I'm set.
Wally?
I'm set.
Okay, each of you handle your man. I'll clean the ball. Keep your eyes open. This is the place, boys.
Looks nice.
Yeah.
Hello there.
Well, how are you today?
Fine. I think I'll take that watch I was looking at.
Oh, yes, sir.
Well, that's a fine watch. I brought my friends over to see it.
All right. Here we are. Solid gold case, 21 jewel Swiss movement. A beauty and a bargain. How do you like it?
Yeah, it's swell.
I kind of like one myself.
I can show you something similar.
Some other time.
I tell you what I'd like to do. I'd like to put a deposit on it and pick it up next Monday. I'm kind of short.
How much of a deposit did you have in mind?
Oh, say $25.
Well, I think that'd be all right. Let me check with the boss. Mr. Burgess.
Some watch, all right.
Yes?
Front, please, Mr. Burgess.
All right.
Watch is guaranteed, isn't it?
Absolutely guaranteed. If anything goes wrong with it, just bring it in. But you must remember, a fine watch is a delicate piece of machinery.
Yeah, I know.
Yes. May I help you?
Mr. Burgess, this gentleman would like to leave a $25 deposit on the watch and pick it up on Monday.
How do you do?
Hello.
Hi, nice place you got here.
Thanks. Well, I think that'll be perfectly all right. All we have to
okay.
do is...
Okay. Do as you're told and you won't get hurt.
Well, please, what's
quiet
that?
Quiet still.
All right.
Lock the door.
Yeah, I got you.
Go on around, boys. Keep them covered.
Yeah, come on.
Now just don't try to be heroes and you won't get hurt. All we want... Hey, you.
Me?
You, move away from there.
Yes, all right.
Hey, boss, come here and have a look.
What's the trouble? We gotta move.
There's a bug right under the counter. This guy was standing not 6 inches from it.
You? Oh, no, not me.
Go on, you. Move over there.
All right, I'm moving.
You, did you hit the alarm button?
Oh, I know. I didn't touch it.
You sure?
I'm positive.
Sure had his chance.
Now tell me the truth. If any cops come storming in here, I'm gonna kill you, I swear. Did you hit that bug?
No, I didn't.
Okay, you're smart. All right, boys, get them tied up. By the time you finish, I'll have the vault clean.
We covered a lot of blocks, Rick. Don't look good to me.
Well, we take one more turn around it. Wait a minute.
What?
There's a Chevy parked up there.
Where?
Next to the alley.
That's the baby.
Nobody with it, huh?
It must be inside someplace.
Hold it,
John.
Hold it.
Central District, cars 4, 5, and 6. In the jewelry office, third floor, tower building. The hold-up alarm is ringing.
That's it.
Let's go.
At the jewelry office, third floor, tower building.
That's in the middle of the block. Let's get them.
How you doing, boys?
I'll be tied in a minute.
I don't know what you fellas expected.
Shut up.
Make it good and tight.
Yeah.
Hey, look, there's cops coming in the hall.
Why, you hit that bug, didn't you? Please, get up.
Here they come.
Get up.
Go on, get up.
All right.
Open up there.
Yell to him. You hit the alarm by mistake.
We're police officers. Open up.
Tell him we're customers. Tell him it was a mistake.
Kick it in.
Hey, they're breaking in.
Watch it.
The lock. Get the lock, Sergeant.
Get your hands up, coppers, or I'll kill this guy.
No, don't.
Those guns, police officers.
Get them, Sergeant.
Let go of me.
Give me that gun.
Let me go.
Get your hands up.
Okay, don't shoot.
Get those hands up.
All right, don't shoot.
Get them up.
You, turn that man loose.
I'll kill him.
No.
Let him go.
All right, take it easy.
You all right, mister?
Yes. Yes, I think so. Jack is tied up over there.
Go look after him.
Yes, I'd better. It's all right, Jack. It's all right.
Are any of you bums hurt?
They all look okay to me, Rick.
Now, sit down there, all of you.
Listen.
He said sit down.
What a mess.
I don't cry. It won't do you any good, Wally.
Sure, plenty of truth in that. Well, now we're going to take a little inventory. Let's see what we got here.
They're not such a tough-looking bunch, are they, Rick?
No, not now, they're not. Take their guns away, and they're just a bunch of crumbs. Just plain crumbs.
That, gangbusters listeners, was how this gang of hold-up artists and killers was captured in the act of committing a robbery after a terrific struggle and gun battle. All were tried in the circuit court at St. Louis, Missouri, and convicted. They are now in the Missouri State Penitentiary at Jefferson City in execution of their sentences. Thank you, Circuit Attorney Edward L. Dowd of St. Louis, Missouri. Now, Gangbusters Nationwide Clues, broadcast every week as a public service to assist American police in their war against the underworld. Attention all citizens. Be on the lookout for Clarence Dye, wanted by the FBI for unlawful flight to avoid prosecution for armed robbery. Listen carefully to his official description.
Clarence Dye, alias Jock, age 43. 5 feet 10 inches, 140 pounds, medium build, brown hair, blue eyes, fair complexion, may seek work as a welder or cook.
This man has scars over his left eyebrow, a blue scar over his right eyebrow, and a tattoo of initials CD on his right forearm.
Caution, Dye is probably armed and should be considered extremely dangerous. He reportedly has stated that he will not be taken into custody alive and will attempt to kill any officer arresting him. Attention all citizens, maintain vigilance for Edwin Sanford Garrison, wanted by the FBI for unlawful flight to avoid confinement for the crimes of burglary and robbery. If you have any information concerning these fugitives, notify your local police, the nearest office of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, or Gangbusters at once. Tonight's Gangbusters case was dramatized by Stanley Niss and directed by Leonard L. Bass, with Mason Adams, Amzie Strickland, and Eric Dressler in leading roles. The entire production was supervised for CBS Radio by John Ives. Gaylord Avery speaking. Tomorrow night, Eve Arden raps for attention, and the merriment's on again at dear old Madison High. Yes, she's back. Eve Arden as our Miss Brooks. Funnier than ever before, with the help of Bashful Boynton, her biology-teaching heartthrob, Mrs. Davis, Eve's pixelated landlady, Osgood Conklin, the terrible-tempered principal, and the rest of the riotous gang. Remember, class convenes with our Miss Brooks tomorrow night on most of these same CBS radio stations. Be sure to beat the school bell to your seats. You hear America's favorite shows on the CBS Radio Network.
listening to the Golden Age of Radio on WMKY and an episode of Gangbusters. Stay tuned for more classic old-time radio from the 1930s through the 1950s. When the Golden Age of Radio continues on Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY at 90.3 FM. Welcome back to the Golden Age of Radio on WMKY at 90.3 FM. In a moment, Johnny Olson hosts the game show Second Chance from 1953. But first, here's comedian Lou Holtz as WMKY presents the Golden Age of Radio.
Now, here he is, chairman of the Laugh Club, Lou Holtz. Well, thank you, thank you. The meeting of the Laugh Club will come to order, but before we get on with the business at hand, Ginger, I happened to glance at some of the minutes, and they have the dollar sign scribbled all over them. Why must you doodle like that?
Why, Mr. Holtz, Lamb of Pie, I was just doodling what comes naturally.
The dollar signs come naturally, Lammy Pie? Well, not to me, they don't.
Which reminds me, Mr. Holtz, you spend so much time with this club, what do you do for a living?
What do I do for a living? Dear, haven't you ever seen me on the stage?
Why, certainly, sugar. What do you do for a living?
Say, look, Ginger, please. I'm too tired to argue with you.
Oh, I know, Mr. Holt. Everybody says you're a pretty tired comedian.
Well, thank you, thank you. I may be tired, but I'm not so tired that I can't tell one of my stories. Here's a little story that happened in Brooklyn. About 9:30 in the evening, there's a knock on the door of Mrs. O'Leary. She opens up the door. She says, how do you do? How do you do, and what can I do for you? He says, I'm Hogan. He says, I'm the man who owns the pool room. And your husband, he loves to come in to play a little pool. She says, he does. It's the most fantastic thing. It's fantastic. He loves to play pool. He says, well, sir, your husband, O'Leary, he comes in about 7:30. He says, I'd play anyone for $100. He plays and he loses. She says, my husband lost $100. He says, yes. She says, that's the most fantastic thing. Fantastic is the word. He loves to gamble. Well, he says, I told him to stop, but he wouldn't. And he lost another $100. I says, O'Leary, it's not your night. Stop. But he wouldn't stop. And his wife says, it's fantastic. He'll never stop gambling. He never stops gambling. Well, to make a long story longer, at the end of the night, he lost $1,100. And his wife says, O'Leary lost $1,100, and he says he did. Mrs. O'Leary says he should drop dead. The fellow says, that's what I came to tell you.
There's a price tag on almost everything. Whether you drive a shiny new 1952 model or a pre-war jalopy, you had to pay the price. And when you're driving that car, remember that speed also has its price. The price tag on speed violations last year was 15,000 killed and 500,000 injured. This year, thousands of lives can be saved if you and millions of other motorists come to the sober realization that speed is the biggest killer on the highways and resolve to slow down before you or someone else pays the price that must be paid for it. You can do your part by keeping within speed limits. At all times, drive as though your life depends on it.
If at first you didn't succeed, there's always a second chance.
National Broadcasting Company welcomes you to the quiz show that takes nerve to play. The program for people who are willing to take a second chance. And here's the man who each day proves that opportunity can knock twice, Johnny Olson.
Thank you very, very much. Thank you, Fred Collins. And hi there, everybody. This is Johnny Olson with a great big welcome to our transcribed second chance game. And you know, all of us have failed at something in our lives at one time or another, but how many of us have had the courage to bounce back and take a second chance? Well, today we'll hear from people selected from your letters and from the audience who've taken a second chance in life. These are the people who've got what it takes to play our second chance game. And so, Fred Collins, who's going to be our first contestant today?
Johnny, here's Mike Morgan, who spent 8 months in prison so that he could take his second chance at a happy marriage.
Well, have a seat here, Mike, will you please? I understand that you were born in British Guiana, is that right?
That's right, Johnny. In 1947, I came to this country and took out my first papers. And the day after I got them, I entered into the U.S. Army.
Were you married at this time, Mike?
Yes, I was married, and I married a New York girl, and we had one baby, mm-hmm. one little girl. And shortly after that, they sent me back to British Guiana to be an interpreter for the Indian people.
And did your wife and daughter go along?
Yes, right after that, they followed me.
I see. Well, then, Mike, when did this indifference begin between you and your wife?
Well, shortly after I got there, Johnny, I noticed she started to become awful cold, and then she started to neglect the baby. My commanding officer had put me on night duty, and I found out while I was on night duty she was not being very true to me. It was very hard to take, I mean. And then, to top it off, too, I found out there was another baby on the way. But I tried to make it work because I happened to love her, and I love my children very much.
You wanted the marriage to work up all right, didn't you?
That's right.
Well, the break didn't really come until you got back to the States, did it, Mike?
No, it's shortly after I came back and I got out of the service. I came home from the job and there was a note there saying that she had left me and I shouldn't try to contact her. And Korea was getting pretty bad at the time, and so I was called back to active duty. And while I was gone for about a few months, I got a letter from her saying that she had gained a final divorce. And I must not try to contact her or anything. If she'd gained custody of the children, she couldn't see any reason for seeing me.
I imagine this came as quite a shock to you, Mike. You tried to forget the past and start your life over again.
That's right, Johnny. I tried to, after I got out of the service, after the Korean deal, I met a very lovely and understanding girl. And we got married, and shortly after that, twins were born to us, a boy and a girl. Everything was going fine as anyone could expect. Then all of a sudden, my first wife showed up and made quite a rumpus in our home, saying that she never got the first divorce, and it never went through because I was in service. Mm-hmm. And that my marriage to my second wife was illegal and that she was going to take me to court on that.
Well, did she carry out her threat, Mike?
She certainly did. I was taken before a judge, and I presented my case to him, and she presented hers to him. I was sentenced to 18 months in prison for bigamy.
Well, did she get the divorce then, Mike?
Yes. After I was there in prison for a while, I signed all the necessary papers and got the divorce. I was paroled 8 months later to find my second wife and twins waiting for me. And as soon as I got out, I got all the necessary papers and remarried my second wife, and now I'm making my second bid for happiness.
Mike, the time that she brought this letter into the picture, when she said that she had gotten a divorce, did you check on that somehow?
Well, I presented the letter, but everything was against me. She said she never wrote the letter to me. Maybe it was some prank, maybe I wrote it myself.
And regardless of that, they still sentenced you for bigamy.
That's right, sir.
In other words, you were sort of a victim of circumstances there, weren't you, Mike?
I certainly was, but I fought this. I got out on parole early, and I fought it all the way. I've taken it to the governor, and I've presented my evidence and everything, and they've decided to give me a pardon on the strength of my evidence.
In other words, you'll have your record clean, then?
I'll have my record clean effective October.
Well, let's hope so, Mike.
It was a hard fight.
You know, it takes a lot of courage to tell a story like you've just done, but it took more courage to live it. And now that you're reunited with your wife and twins, I'm sure their love for you will help soften the harsh memories of the past years and point the way to a much, much brighter future. You certainly deserve it. Good luck.
Thank you.
All right, Mike, now, you've shown that you have courage in other things. Let's see if you have the courage it takes to play our second chance game. We have the board up here all raring to go, ready to be lighted the moment you start winning some money. Here's the first of three win-or-lose questions worth $10. From these clues, who is he? English, cigar, amateur painter, actress daughter, prime minister. Who are we talking about?
Winston Churchill.
Nobody else but $10. And here's where we test your nerve on your first second-chance question, Mike. The subject matter here is objects of affection. Now, as you know the rules of our game, the right answer doubles your money, the wrong answer will put you out of the game without a single thing, or if you feel that you don't know about objects of affection, you can pass the question by and still stay in the game. Now, do you want to take that second chance? You're going to pass it by. What do you say, Mike?
I'll go along with the crowd. I'll take it.
You'll take it. Well, good luck to you and the crowd. Popeye's girl wouldn't win any beauty contest, but Popeye loved her. What's her name?
Olive Oil.
That's right. Olive Oil it is. You've got $20 now in the second chance game. And here's your next win or lose question, Mike. Now worth another $20. The name Anderson is a big one in theater. Marian Anderson is a singer. Judith Anderson is an actress. For what is Maxwell Anderson famous? Very famous name. I'm sure you've seen it. I'm going to give you five more seconds, Mike. Got $20 lighted on the board. Oh, I'm awfully sorry. Time is up. Playwright, famous writer. I thought you'd see Maxwell Anderson up there on Broadway at all the plays. A writer, author, has written movies as well. Well, you're out of the game, but not until we pay you your $20, Mike, and the best of luck to you on taking that second chance. Good luck. If you would like to be a contestant on Second Chance and win up to $240 in cash, write us a letter telling us of an important or unique Second Chance experience in your life. Tell us what events brought you to the point where you had to decide whether or not to take a second chance, and what happened after that. Address your letter to Second Chance Program, NBC 30 Rockefeller Center, New York City, New York. And now, Johnny, meet Mrs. Alice Carter, who tried to live two lives before taking a second chance.
Welcome to Second Chance, Mrs. Carter. When I first read your letter, I was deeply impressed with your problem and the manner in which you solved it by taking your second chance. I wonder if you'd tell us your story.
Well, my story, Johnny, begins about 36 years ago. My parents were both Negro, and I was white in appearance. I was raised around my people and very happy. Over about 10 years ago, I married a very wonderful man, a Negro man, and we were quite happy. Well, it wasn't until after my marriage, quite a few years after my marriage, that I decided to pass.
Mrs. Carter, I wonder if you'd explain the term pass a little more fully.
Well, it meant that because I looked like white, I could say I was white, you know, and pass myself off as white.
I see. Now, what made you decide to pass, Mrs. Carter?
Well, I tell you, I couldn't get the kind of job I wanted as a Negro. And, well, I went one day into a very exclusive dress shop, you know, for a saleswoman job. And on the application, where it said race, I put white. I really needed that job. My daughter was 6 years old at that time. And, well, I got the job. And everyone there thought I was white. And from that time, that's when the problems, I think, really began.
What if you tell us some of the problems you had?
Well, I couldn't be myself. I was really denying myself. Then, on the other hand, I couldn't make friends with some of the very nice white people that I met because I was living a lie. But I think what was really very hard was one day my husband brought my daughter into the shop where I was working, and he said, "You mustn't recognize Mommy." And the look in her eyes and the way she It just couldn't be explained. I wanted to run after and apologize.
Mrs. Carter, what did your husband say to this?
Well, he said that if I could, you know, better my work conditions, that he would understand and he would step aside and we would break up our marriage. And so then I said no, and I took my second chance. On being myself and what I am, I'm proud to be a Negro. I'm proud to work for my people in this wonderful country. And I think now my marriage is safe and my home is a much happier one.
Well, Mrs. Carter, it took a lot of courage for you to come up here to our NBC microphone and tell your dramatic story. In the long run, only by taking your second chance in recognizing who you really are were you able to find happiness. God bless you. Mrs. Carter, you've shown great courage, and this certainly qualifies you to play our second chance game. Now, here's the first of three win-or-lose questions, first of which is worth $10. Now, which one of the following was the famous French statesman and diplomat? Was it Talleyrand, Remington Rand, or Sally Rand?
I'd say Talleyrand.
Talleyrand is right. Yes, Sally Rand, we all know, is the famous fan dancer, and Remington Rand, of course, is the name of a famous typewriter. You've got yourself $10, and here's where we test your nerve on your first second-chance question. Now, the subject matter, Mrs. Carter, is national capitals. Now, remember the rules of our game. The right answer doubles your money. The wrong answer will put you out of the game, or you can pass it by and still stay in the game. Go on to the next win or lose question. You want to take that second chance, or are you going to pass it by?
Take the second chance!
What do you say?
I'll take the chance.
You'll take it, then. Good luck to you. Only one of these cities was never capital of the United States. Which city is it? New York, Philadelphia, Boston.
I know that. Boston.
Boston is right. You now have $20 lighted up on our second chance board, and here's your next win or lose question, now worth another $20. The Amazon River is one of the longest and least explored rivers in the world. Now, in what country is the Amazon River? The Amazon.
Brazil.
Brazil is right. You're doing just fine, Mrs. Carter. You now have $40 on our second chance board, and here's that next second chance question. The subject here is mineralogy. Now, you think you know about that? You want to take a second chance? You're going to pass it by. What do you say, Mrs. Carter?
Take a second chance!
I think I better pass that by. I don't know anything about mineralogy.
You're going to pass up on the mineralogy. Well, good for you. That's a wise woman. You're still in the game. You've $40, and here's your next win or lose question. Carlsbad Caverns is the largest underground labyrinth yet discovered. Now, in which of our states are the Carlsbad Caverns? Which state do you think, Mrs. Carter? 5 more seconds.
Kentucky, Arizona.
Oh, I'm sorry. Kind of close, though, at that. As a matter of fact, it happens to be New Mexico. I'm awfully sorry, Mrs. Carter. You go out of the game, but not until we present you with $40 for playing our second chance game. The best of good luck to you, and congratulations on taking that second chance. Friends, every week we award a $100 United States savings bond to the person whose second chance letter is chosen by our judges to be read on the air. Our winning letter of the week will be read each Friday, so keep writing those letters. Judges reserve the right to edit all winning letters, so why don't you sit down and write your second chance story to the Second Chance Program, care of the National Broadcasting Company, 30 Rockefeller Plaza, New York City, New York, and win a $100 United States savings bond. And now, this is Johnny Olson saying thanks for joining us, transcribed, inviting you to be with us tomorrow when once again we try to prove that opportunity can knock twice on the Second Chance program. Goodbye, everybody. This has been an NBC Radio Network production.
Back in the country a few years ago, there was sure a lot about the girls I didn't know. I wondered how to steal a kiss, but I was so shy. I wondered a million times every time I tried. What am I gonna do now? Well, I don't know how. And the girls started asking, what you gonna do now? Now I was a-getting sweet on the neighbor's daughter Lou. She was cute and sassy and kind of bold too. She told me she'd show me what it's all about. She was gonna teach me how to knock 'em out. Holding hands, making eyes, I learned in lesson one. Lou was my teacher, school sure was fun. How to put my arm around came in lesson two. She said, now you're ready to learn something new. Oh, what you gonna do now? Gonna show me how? Oh, don't keep me waiting. What you gonna do now? Walk at the country school. She was hanging on to me, she wouldn't turn me loose. Girls started making eyes, I guess it made Lou sore. She took me to the moonlight, said I gotta teach you more. What you gonna do now? You gonna show me how? Oh, don't keep me waiting. What you gonna do now? Kisses by the dozen, hugs to beat the band. I yelled and I pleaded, now I'm just one little man. Lou was sure excited, need I tell you more? And then I saw a gleam that I never saw before. Oh, what you gonna do now? Ooh, wow, you do know how. What you gonna do now?
The Golden Age of Radio on WMKY and Tommy Collins with What You Gonna Do Now from 1954. We also heard Johnny Olson in the game show Second Chance, originally broadcast on radio on August 25th, 1953. This has been the Golden Age of Radio, classic old-time radio programs from the 1930s through the 1950s. Material for this program provided by the Internet Archive, an online nonprofit library of books, movies, music, and old-time radio shows on the web at archive.org. Tune in again for the Golden Age of Radio next week at the same time and channel on WMKY at 90.3 FM and online at wmky.org.